right back.
Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2629. That's 2629. Tonight we're going to have a very good show. We have Michelle Bless on, and she and I always run our shows together. We're just together. And so we speak about a lot of different things. But tonight, because it is April Fool's, okay, it is the beginning, though. It is the beginning of, Child Abuse Awareness Month, okay? And so what we do is we, every April, we talk a lot about different types of abuses and so forth and so on. Now, what Michelle and I are going to do tonight is I have something that I do once a year. I save it just for this reason. And it's called 10 Reasons Parents Don't Discuss Child Sexual Abuse, okay? Again, 10 reasons why parents don't discuss child abuse. And we go through that, and it's very interesting. And anyone who can call in or wants to call in, the number is 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. Okay, now before we get started, and we're starting to build a panel here, I'll give people a little chance even more to call in. This is good. We have people here, though. This is good. Okay. I'm going to read the mission statement. I do that when I run the show. I'll be running it again tomorrow, so you'll hear it tomorrow. Now, it's important that you know what the mission statement is, but I must say that it is only a small part of what NASCA does, okay? We should actually rewrite it. All right, this is the NASCA mission. We have a singleness of purpose at NASCA to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two different ways. Two ways we do this. Number one is educating the public. And that is especially related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. Okay, it affects everyone. That's number one. Number two is offering hope for healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. I'm a very big, to me, prevention is so, so important. The three of them are important. But prevention, if we could all people in our neighborhoods, wherever we live, become aware of the signs of child abuse, what they are, and just simply make a phone call, okay? You can call the 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's actually located in the center of the state, or not the state, of the country. But they are a worldwide sort of like organization and certainly cover the United States. They're the people that I go to. I've had them on the show maybe three times. That's 1-800-4-A-CHILD, and that is Child Help. Many of you know Child Help. So, okay, a lot of times people don't want to get involved, do they, Michelle? No, they do not.
And, no, they do not.
No, they're afraid of retaliation and all that. So what they do is they call that number, and those people will help you, you know, and have the right proper people go to a house, say, where you know a child is being abused, or even if you just suspect, okay, they would rather you be wrong, okay? So don't worry about it. So it's a good deal to do that. You might be saving a child's life. That's so important, okay? So tonight what we're going to do, first of all, we have Michelle Bless, and she is our minister, and she's also tonight's special co-host will be Michelle Bless, as she, from Cincinnati, Ohio. She is a survivor of severe child abuse, who's now a minister and a chaplain. She appears on the first Thursday of each month, and she is also the author of the book Out of the Darkness, The Michelle Bless Story, Her Story of Redemption. Okay, and I'm not going to go through her bio right now. I might hit upon it later, but I suggest that you get her book and know that you're in very good hands here, because Michelle has worked in all different capacities in the city, which I love. I love going to New York City. And, well, she wouldn't work in New York City. She'd work out by her city. But the point is she and I have a lot in common. Okay, and this is why our shows are always so good, because we have so much commonality here, okay? And so anyway, we have Michelle, and we have Renee, and she's just going to listen from what I see, and we have Peter from Ontario, and we have Mark from Louisiana, and Mark is actually going to be my trailer tonight. He's the one that's taking care of the switchboard here, and I appreciate that. Then I can focus on the bio and also on our guest, which is, again, Michelle Bless. So what I'm going to do here is every year in April, I take one day, and since today is April 1st, I go over something that we had from who was a prosecutor in New York City, and she works with the Sex Crimes Unit, mostly for children. And as she says here, as a prosecutor of child abuse and sex crimes in New York City for the past 16 years and a prevention specialist, I have heard all the reasons why parents do not discuss child sexual abuse prevention with their children. I have heard them all so often that I can recite them by heart. In honor of April's Child Abuse Prevention Month, I decided it would be a good idea to memorialize the top 10 reasons why parents choose not to discuss the subject. And again, this is not to discuss the subject. So I have 1 through 10 here, and Michelle and I are going to go through them, and of course I'm going to go to the panel. And people, please do call in at 646-595-2118. This is an important show because we are the ones, the survivors, so often that do a lot of work with people who are adult survivors of child abuse, which are now over 60 million American survivors. It was 42, but they've raised it up to 60. They know that that's more a better number, closer. Remember, there's a lot of people that do not report. So these are the ones that we know about. Okay, and but if we knew more about child abuse, and if we would use what we know about child abuse, there would be children out there who could be saved, and that's what's so very, very important. Okay, so number one, I'm going to start this off, Michelle, and then I will go to panel maybe 2 or 3 times during the show, and they can make comments or, of course, ask a question. But number one, children are seldom victims of sexual abuse.
False.
That's right. Exactly. False.
That is absolutely false.
That's ludicrous. That's what that is.
Yes,
oh,
it
my
is.
God. Now, according to the United States Center for Disease Control, the CDC, in the United States, at least 1 in 4 girls, they're saying now closer to 1 in 3, and 1 in 5 boys is sexually abused by the time they are 18. Consider those numbers for a moment. They are shocking and devastating. Those figures alone should motivate parents to seek out prevention strategies. I couldn't agree more with that. Now, a lot of kids, they come from homes that are very dysfunctional. The parents are too scattered. Maybe they don't get along. Maybe there's a lot of domestic violence, or maybe the children are being abused by those parents. And they're not going to get the help that they need, okay? And those children, many times, as Michelle well knows, and I well know also, they end up, as they get a little bit older, out in the streets, and they can get into trouble. A lot of times they can end up in juvie and all kinds of things. A lot of bad things can happen to these kids. So I suggest with the parents, and Michelle I know will agree with this, make it a part of your parenting.
Yes.
We teach children to cross the street, right, Michelle? We teach them to cross the street.
Absolutely.
And stranger danger. They're not afraid to talk to their kids about stranger danger. But that's not good enough, because statistics do show that 93% of the abusers out there are someone that the children know, and that takes in family members, distant family members. It takes in neighborhood people, and even, as we have been discussing lately, 15-year-olds, say. In other words, teenagers. Yeah, that's a biggie. Well, we'll get into
Absolutely.
That in another show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's number one. So people, please do get informed. We have our website, and I suggest that all the ambassadors, and also, too, not just the ambassadors, but everyone, you know, who knows anything about NASCA, to go to our website. That's NAASCA.org. That's NASCA.org. And you will scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see red lines, and they open up a menu, and it gives you so much information, okay? I have to let people know this because it's important. On the left-hand side of the page, you'll find programs, and those programs are good because if people cannot afford to go to a psychiatrist, say, they can go to a program, or they can do both, okay? And it's self-explanatory. Michelle knows this. I had her open it up once. And I'm from New Jersey right now. I was born in New York, but I live in New Jersey. If I was a person looking for help, I could go to New Jersey. And, again, it's self-explanatory. Once you click on to programs, it just opens up. A menu drops down. Look for your state.
Right.
And you look for your state, and you'll see lots of programs that you can go to, okay? Some states have more than others, but there's always something. And remember, the first one that you see up the top many times is a 1-800 number, and if you have any questions, you can just call them and they'll tell you, you know. So it's very good. That's just another thing that we offer here at NASCA are the programs. Now let's get back to what we're discussing here for tonight's show, because this is important. So we already know that it's 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 5 boys is sexually abused by the time they are 18. And if you consider those numbers, that is astounding. Okay. Number two, this kind of thing doesn't happen where I live.
False.
You bet it's false. It doesn't matter whether you live in, it's craziness. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter if you're a wealthy kid like I was, which is me absolutely no good. Or if you're a middle-class kid and you live in a nice neighborhood still, though, or if you're a kid that, you know, has a more poor background, it doesn't matter where you're from, okay? Pedophiles go where children go, and they go to the poor, to the middle-class, to the wealthy. That's just the way
That's
it is.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it says those figures alone should motivate parents to seek out prevention strategies. Again, it says that. And it says here, rich or poor, or what religion, it matters not. It doesn't matter what you are. It can creep into wherever you are and who you are. Okay, that's number two. Number three, we don't let our children go near strangers. Now, that's what it says here.
I'm going to say false on that. What did
yes.
you say?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that too. Because don't forget, we can't watch our children, you know, every 24/7.
That's correct.
And if they're in your, when you can see them, you can say, hey, don't talk to that person. You don't know them. You know, you can guide them. But a lot of times they don't listen, do they? So they say, actually, again, 93% of children, sexual abuse occurs at the hands of someone known to the child and trusted by the parents. Even if a child is never around strangers, he or she could be victimized by a neighbor, a coach,
mm-hmm.
a religious official, or family
mm-hmm.
members. Parents who teach only stranger danger are doing a disservice to their child. So
correct.
This we already know because we just discussed that, and that's very true. Okay. Number four, my child is not old enough for this discussion.
Wow.
Absolutely. Very, very, very false. Very, very false. You know, when you're giving your child a bath, say, a lot of times a child will say, Mommy, what's this? Daddy, what's that? And they'll be speaking about their body parts. Well, look, I don't know, Michelle, you know this as well as I do. But a lot of times parents go, oh, don't worry about those. Those are just part of your body, or tee-hee-hee and all this other stuff. They don't want to give a name. They don't want to give a name to the parts of the body, okay? Listen,
mm-hmm.
we were born with a head. We were born with shoulders. We were born with arms. And you were born with breasts. And if you're a little girl, you have a vagina. If you're a little boy, you have a penis. It's as simple as that.
It's and very, very important.
Well, yes.
I'm sorry. I was going to say it's very, very important to tell a child about their body parts. I mean, we don't have to say it vulgar, but they need to know their parts mm-hmm. and to let them know this is if anyone touched you here in this area, it's wrong and to let me know. If I was taught that by the time I turned 6 years old, I would have done that. But when I was touched, I didn't know what was going on. I was never taught anything different.
That's right. That's right. And, Michelle, I can so agree with you because, all right, from 6 to 7 and a half, I was with a pedophile, but I certainly didn't know what my body parts were called. And then by the time I was 9 years out, 9 years old, I was out in Staten Island in New York, and when I was kidnapped and raped, and I was brought down to the police department because he did leave me off at the other end of the driveway, I managed to get to the house. Now, people, I want you to listen. I want you to think. I was filthy dirty because he had me on the ground. He had me here and there. He tore my dress, and I had blood dripping down my legs, okay?
Mm.
And no one said anything, all right? So the police had been called because I was gone for a little over 3 hours. And by the way, with 3 hours, Michelle, you know this also, she knows so much. With 3 hours, the chances of finding a child alive is the numbers go down, okay?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And, well, this guy, he wasn't out to murder little girls. He was out to kidnap and rape them, and I was one of 14. And I was the last one. He took me the furthest away. I had a good description of him. It said Plymouth on the dashboard because that's what they did in those days. And I knew the car was blue. And I knew what he looked like. So, you know, I had things to tell the police. And the police were there. And I told them everything that I knew about this guy. But when they said, well, what did he do to you? Well, I didn't know what to say. I mean, I had blood dripping down my leg. So I touched, you know, my vaginal area on the outside of my dress, and then I didn't have names. You see, this is how it's so important. And the same with my upper body. So, you know, people have to teach their children. And when they talk about this is your head, this is your nose, this is your mouth, these are your shoulders, these are your breasts, this is your belly, this is your vagina, this is your penis, you say it all in the same tone. All in the same tone. Because Michelle, what happens if you don't?
They're gonna get abused. They're gonna get molested. Okay. They're gonna get messed with. Okay. And they're not going to understand what's going on because they weren't taught at home. If you don't teach your kids about their body parts and that, and teach them that if anyone touched them there, it's wrong. If you don't teach them that, so if someone touched them, how are they going to know it's wrong? They're going to assume it's okay.
Right.
Because we don't know what's going on. We weren't taught anything different.
That's
and
right.
Pedophiles love the fact that parents today are, let me say it like this. Pedophiles and perverts and rapists, they love the fact that some parents say, oh, our child is too young. They're not going to understand. They love that. They love that we don't teach our kids that. I'm telling you. Because
right.
they are the perfect
exactly
target. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. Another thing, too, to add to that, is if the parents don't know how to say a vagina or a penis or breasts, you know, to a child, or they giggle or they seem ashamed or bashful, the kids are not stupid. They pick up on that.
Exactly.
And, yeah. And when, you know, they may not even tell exactly what happened because they'll remember what mommy and daddy said, you know, and they didn't want to really talk about those parts. So it makes
it
harder
don't teach
even
our kids,
for the police.
If you don't teach your kids about their body parts, I guarantee you somebody else will.
That's
if it
exactly
doesn't come
right
from you, somebody is going to teach your kid that.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
exactly
would you rather
right
teach them or you want a stranger to teach them?
Right. And so often they hang around the schoolyard. Okay, I remember this guy, this creep was hanging around my schoolyard. I didn't know that. You know, they go to parks. They go where kids go. Every place a kid goes, a pedophile goes. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is.
Exactly.
Okay. So you had actually brushed across the next one, which is number 5. And it says here, I don't want to scare my child. Well, what do you think of that? Is false or what do you say about that?
I would say false on that. It's not about scaring your child. It's about teaching your child and keeping them safe. Because a lot of pedophiles and perverts, what they do, they'll say, don't tell. And they'll even tell the kid by threatening them and say they're going to hurt their parents or cause harm. And that is what will put the fear in the child. If you teach your child about their body and teach them that no matter what a person say, especially if they say, don't tell mommy, you say, don't say anything. Say, okay, but as soon as you get to me, you tell mommy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly
very important.
Right. Yes, it is. Very, very important. So you see already we're at number 5. And but these are all very important things for parents to listen to. Very, very important. I'm going to go to number 6 already.
Go ahead.
Well, wait a minute now. It says here actually on number 5, it says actually when handled properly, children find the message empowering and are not frightened at all.
I agree.
I do, too. It says parents do not refrain from teaching traffic safety, like we mentioned, for fear that their child will be afraid to cross the street. So, 2, should we address the subject of body safety? And that's exactly right. And it's so important. Children have to learn that there's boundaries, all right? You know, if someone comes over and pats them on the head or whatever, something's very, you know, mundane like that, that's one thing. But if a person is, you know, trying to be too friendly with your child, and I have seen this, I know you have, but, you know, they're out in the park saying they're playing ball. The boys, we don't talk enough about the boys who get abused. The boys are playing baseball. We'll say baseball, okay? They're out there playing baseball. And there's this adult who's hanging around. And instead of being with the adults, What's he doing? He's over by the kids. Too much.
Mm-hmm. Too much. That's right.
Right. Too much. See, you have to judge that. I mean, it's okay for an adult to go over and watch and see how they're doing with the game. Hey, yeah, yeah, you know, Jimmy, do this, Jimmy, do that, whatever. That's one thing. But, if a person is just standing there, go ahead.
I was just going to say, let me add something, you know, because it's about to get warm. Take your kids to the park or whatever. Always, don't ever send your child to the bathroom by themselves.
Oh, yes.
Always, because you know why? I'll tell you why. Because some pedophiles and some perverts go in the bathroom stalls and wait for a kid to walk in there by themselves.
That's right. That's exactly right, Michelle.
They don't be in parks, so you have to be mindful of that. Sometimes they go and hide in stalls.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many cases have been with kids going to the bathroom and the parents say, well, my kid is taking too long, and by the time they get there, it's too late, they don't already got touched or snatched, one or the other.
That's right. That's exactly right. And it wasn't that long ago, I was in Walmart, and I saw this little kid, he couldn't have been more than 4 years old, going into
mm-hmm.
the boys' room by himself. Oh, no, honey, you don't do that. So
no.
I went and stood in the doorway. You know how when you walk into Walmart, it has an area to the right is to the girls and to the left is the boys. So I just went and stood on the right, by the door frame there. Because if you had stupid parents, they're not thinking.
Mm-mm.
So if you
let them walk in there by themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yep, absolutely right. So people
that's where
have
they hang
to,
out at, in stalls, perverts and pedophiles, that's where they hang out at.
Sure. They're hoping
mm-hmm.
some little kid will come walking in. It's terrible. And this can happen to girls, too.
Exactly.
See, we have to educate the people about both, you know, the guys and the girls, what they do. Okay, so we've got that one out of the way. It says here, number six, I would know if something happened to my child. What do you think of that?
False. Well,
that's right.
Let me say it like this. You know, that's a catch-22. It can be true and false. I mean, there are some parents that would teach their kids and they could see signs and they would know something's wrong. But then again, the ones that say, oh, I would know if something's wrong with my kid, that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Well,
my
mother,
my family didn't even know, use me for an example real quick, like, my mother didn't even know that I was messed with starting at the age of six until I became an adult and told her what happened to me. And my mom literally almost had a heart attack. She couldn't believe it. She mm-hmm. she was shocked to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not true.
No, it isn't.
What do you
true.
Think, Carol? Okay.
Well, the only thing I can say about that is a lot of times with maybe, you know, really small kids is their behavior changes, okay?
Absolutely.
And, you know, and they can go from becoming a very active child and all this other stuff to becoming a child who becomes very inward. And the parents have to wonder, why is my child, you know, changing so? And then another thing, too, maybe children will start coming out with words that are too sexual for their age.
Absolutely,
well,
or what they do in their body language, the way they touch themselves,
exactly.
And when they play with dolls and put dolls on top of each other, you know, and
mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. I mean, and then it could be a kid cutting itself, you know, they cut themselves, you know,
yes, they do.
Or pull their hair, or I mean, those are absolute signs of something is wrong. Or they bed
mm-hmm.
wet, start peeing on themselves
yes.
in the bed.
Yes. They regress, right? They regress.
You know, and then they say, "What? Are you know? What are you doing? What are you doing peeing? What's wrong with you?" And the first thing they do, they probably spank them instead of asking them what's going on. Those are signs of something that is going on. Something happened to your child that your child was exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of kids, they'd be happy-go-lucky, smiling, playing around. Next thing you know, they're off to themselves quiet. They don't want to go outside and play. That's a sign. It's a flag. Mm-hmm. Anytime you see a change in your child, that is an alert for you to go find out what is going on with your child. That's a sign.
Yes, it is. And too often those signs, you know, parents are busy. Maybe they don't think enough to try and figure out why the child has changed. And there's a big red flag right there. So that's why I wanted to bring in the behavioral part, because that mm-hmm. so often is the telling part, okay? So mm-hmm. let's go on to number 7. And then I have another one over here about, which was written by child molesters. And I found that one some years ago, and we'll go into mm-hmm. that one. Yeah, very, very interesting. Then after they went and they did this, the molesters, the perverts, the ones, the rapists, then they burned the building down. Nice. Mm-hmm. But anyway, okay. But anyway, it says here, number 7, my child would tell me if something happened to him.
False.
Is that true or false? Yes.
I would say false. I mean, again, that can be a catch-22. When you hear me say catch-22, that can be a yes and a no. There have been kids that will tell, but the majority, no. Especially if you haven't taught your kids about stranger danger or about their body or teach them of any, you know, if, you know, teach your child about anybody touching them inappropriately. If you don't teach them, they're not going to know that what's happening to them is inappropriate. They're not going to know. So, no, that's false.
That's exactly right. It says here that actually most children do not immediately disclose when they have been sexually abused. Contrary to a child who falls down and runs over to tell his parents, a child who has been sexually abused is likely being told not to tell. We know this.
That's right. Absolutely.
And anyone, because no one will believe him, that's one of the reasons why they say no one is going to believe you anyway. That's number one. And then number two is that people will say it is his fault. So then kids, they get this shame type of thing, and they feel terrible sadness. And if you tell your family, you're going to make your family sad, okay? And they're going to there's mm-hmm. going to be a lot of problems, and it's going to be your fault for telling.
Mm-hmm.
So then that behavior is still their little secret. But we know that it's not a little secret. It's a big secret because it affects the child. Until they get help.
And that's a heavy, heavy load for a child to carry mentally. And mm-hmm. parents need to understand that. That's why you have to sit your child down and talk to them. And I mean, you can use different things. You can draw stuff to show them. You can use dolls or just use yourself, you know, like if you touch your eye, point to your eye, you know, and let the kid point to their eye. It's just so important to teach your kids, because look at what's going on, Carol, right now in the 21st century. We're talking about human trafficking. So many kids are missing right now, disappearing for human trafficking and body parts.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
That's a big high rise. But
that
go ahead, I don't
so
want to differate from what we're doing here. But, yeah, and I mean, the facts are just going higher and higher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they are, and that's not really separating. That's not separating. Mm-hmm. See, the way that I look at it is anything that has to do with child abuse, and quite frankly, yes. Okay,
absolutely.
We're speaking a little political, but what's going on is these children coming into our country. And they had the cartel bringing them in, a lot of fentanyls back and all kinds of stuff. And they're bringing children back in. And these, especially with the teenagers, the ones, even prepubescent, into the teenage years, and boys and girls both, they're being put out on the street. Oh, yes, they are. And that is disgusting. And this is a terrible problem in our country. And I'm sure other countries are looking at us and laughing. Okay. Let's get back to this. Okay, I think I'm on number 8.
You are?
Yes, I am. Yeah. It says, we never leave our child alone with adults. True or false?
I'm going to say true because, I mean, I didn't. I mean, I didn't leave my child around adults, people I didn't know anyway. And the only time I left my child around someone, it was absolutely someone that I trust, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So, no.
Well,
kids should stay in kids' place. Yes, absolutely. We in that survivor mode once we became parents.
Well, absolutely. So, I mean, our antennas, being a survivor, we're well into our healing journey. Our antennas go up. And with our children, sometimes it can be even a little overprotective, okay, because we know
mm-hmm.
what happened to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I had a whole complex out looking for my daughter once. she walked out. I was upstairs cleaning, and she walked out of the apartment that I was in. It was more like a condo apartment. And I had the whole complex out looking for her. And here she was at a little girl's house that she said she hated. So I didn't look there.
mm-hmm.
That's kids, you know. But
well,
I just had a
flash, like, you know, my daughter was raped by a pastor that I knew.
Mm-mm.
So the devastating of that for me, but the difference, what happened to me as a kid and when all that happened to her, I made sure that from my side of the family and from her dad's side of the family, we took it all the way. We made sure that person was persecuted. It was very devastating. These are my neighbors.
Yeah.
I knew his wife. I knew him. And then to find out, oh, my God,
mm-hmm.
girl. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. I hear you.
Yeah.
That would be devastating because we look to our pastors, you know, and, you know, to guide us and to nurture us and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I've got to take a little bit of water there. Okay. So, okay, I think you should take a little water, too.
I don't know what's going on
around here. We did number 8.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Yes, children, I touch is inappropriate. But we didn't finish number 8. It says here, teach children what touch is appropriate and what is inappropriate. Teach them the proper terminology for their private parts, which we did speak about, and teach them
mm-hmm.
who they can talk to if anyone touches them in a way that makes them feel uncomfortable. So that's actually 3 parts there. Let's look at number 1. Teach children what touch is appropriate and what is inappropriate. Now, go ahead and answer that one. Go ahead.
Teach
course,
a child
for,
what's appropriate and what's inappropriate?
Yeah, this isn't a question part. This is a part of this paragraph that I'm reading from. So that is very, very important to teach what's appropriate and what is not appropriate. And so often, I remember even like when I was a teenager, I'm sure you do too, you know,
mm-hmm.
like someone will take their hand and go down, you know, your leg, or maybe they'll go up and a little bit around your belly area or whatever. See, that's inappropriate because, first of all, you didn't tell them that they could touch you. That's number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And number 2, their hands are like sliding more over to the sexual organs, if you think about it, if they're going up and down your leg. And you didn't give them permission, okay? Kids have to learn when they're teenagers, okay,
mm-hmm.
that you have to give permission. I'm talking about teenagers here, okay?
Yeah, I taught that, first of all, no one should touch you. If anyone touched you in that way, that's automatically a flag.
Mm-hmm.
Scream when
mm-hmm.
you can, if not, when just get away when you get away, you come straight to me or you call. Excuse me, my mouth is dry, so bear with me. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, let me know as soon as possible. The one thing about my child, when this pastor did what he did to her, she automatically knew it was wrong because I was at work and I got called from the school. He took her from the bus stop
mm-hmm.
and did what he did. And so she knew it was wrong. And when I remember when I got to the hospital, she threw her arms open. She said, "Mommy, I told. I didn't do nothing wrong." I said, "No, you didn't do anything wrong." I was in such rage. And, of course, it took me back of what happened to me as a child. And this happened to her when she was seven. And he got prison time. I mean, he got out of prison when she was 25, 26 years old. She's now 37. So he did some time. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad he did,
child,
because so often. Go ahead.
If you teach your child, no one should touch them. No one, and it's just that simple, because no one shouldn't be touching your child's body.
No, they
if
shouldn't.
Your child is
that's
underage,
right,
where we have to help bathe them, it should be us bathing them. But say, you know, we teach them how to bathe themselves, and, you know, and you're supposed to let them know. No one should touch you. No
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's when this
you're
happened to my
right.
daughter. First thing, she knew that it was wrong, and she said, and she kept saying, "I told him not to touch me. I told him he was wrong, Mommy. I told him he was wrong. And he hurt me, Mommy. He hurt me bad." Oh, girl, you know I want the girl. I tell you.
Mm.
I tell you.
Now, see, that's so devastating, again, too, because a minister or a priest, so often we hear about the priest, but, you know, it doesn't matter what religion it is. It's in all of them. It's in even okay, my deceased husband, he was Jewish, and they, you know, you didn't hear too much about things in the Jewish faith, you know, with things like that. And then all of a sudden, man, it came out, okay? It came out. And
yeah, because a lot of people, they look at pastors and ministers and they say, and like I did as a kid, somebody
mm-hmm.
to look up to. They supposed to be someone you're supposed to trust.
Mm-hmm.
But, honey, let me tell you, becoming an advocate for and meeting a lot of people who were raped from pastors and priests, you know, and I mean, like, and I learned more about it when I first met Brother Bill. I mean, you got to understand, you can't trust anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, even police
That's
officers.
Right, you can't. That's right.
I know of police officers that are perverts that have raped kids.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
same ones that they're supposed to look up to. That's why it's very important, again, to teach your children that if anybody touch you
mm-hmm.
in an inappropriate way, and show them what the inappropriate way is,
That's right.
In your butt or in your front side, or if they try to put something in your mouth, you have to teach your kids this, because if you don't,
right.
they will be confused. They're not going to understand it, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to hurt them. It's going to hurt them.
Yes.
You know, for the listeners who's out here or in the chat room, I'm telling people, if you ain't never been raped as a child. So you an adult, and you know we have sexual relations. So imagine a man putting his thing in a little girl or a little boy, and in their behind or in their mouth. Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a lot of us have had that happen to us, you know.
Well, absolutely.
And,
that's what
yeah,
I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's a yeah, yeah.
That hurt it.
Well, let me tell
you,
Michelle.
It hurt it horribly.
No, I turned around and punched them in the face. You know, no, you don't do that to me, honey. No, 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 no. Not back there. I don't like that. I don't like it anyway. I was a kid. Let's go to Mark. I'm going to go from the bottom and work our way up, and then we'll come Peter. And Renee just wants
we'll
to listen
we'll
tonight.
We'll do 9 and 10 when they're done. We need to finish it up.
Yeah, we can. We absolutely can. And then also, too, if I have time, I do want to, because this will go fast the way I'll do it tonight, I will be much more involved another time when I run the show, which I'll do actually during the course of this month. Okay, let's go to Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, what do you think about the things that we're saying here?
Oh, okay. I got a few comments, a few thoughts. For one, when you were in the beginning talking about statistics and that, I'm fairly new to this, and I'll tell you why. I'm a normie, but I'm married to a survivor who was sexually abused from the age of 4 to 18, and you all know her, Pam. But I support her. I stand with her, and then when she got involved with NASCA, I stand behind what NASCA is about. And the one statistic that blew me away when we first started getting involved was the fact that not over 90% of the children know who their abuser is. I couldn't wrap my head around that. I grew up in the 60s. I was a child of the 60s, and all I was ever taught was don't take candy from strangers and don't talk to strangers. That was it. Bam. That was all we knew. So, you know,
not enough.
Right. And that's what blew me away is that if we lined up 10 children who have been abused, 9 of them at least know who they were. And that just blew my mind that these children knew who the abuser was. And that's what I would say to those listening and those parents. Know where your kids are. Know who your kids are with. Teach your kids what they were sharing very many great things right here earlier here in the broadcast, and teach them, learn them. And I would suggest anyone get on the NASCA site. There's a drop box on there for recovery and stuff, and there's a place called Prevention and Intervention. If you open that up and scroll down a little bit, there's many indicators. I know you guys didn't mention all of them but there's many, and there's indicators there of children who have been abused, and learn the signs, learn about these that are going on with your own kids or with your nieces, nephews, grandchildren. That's what I would say, because you're right, it's a serious thing, and I stand with you guys and NASCA and my wife for sure. So, I just suggest to the people, look at this. This is a lot of information here that could help you, and listening tonight will help you. This is a good thing to know. This is no game. This is real.
Let me add something to what you just said that is very key and very important. When you mentioned that, listen, if you teach your kid about not only stranger danger, it's more than that. Because if you just do stranger danger, then the grandpa or uncle or nephew or brother touch you, you're going to think that's okay, or you're going to be confused. Because the person who assaulted me was my grandfather. I didn't know what was going on. This was someone that he was big in the family, everybody looked up to, and he told me not to tell. And I didn't. But if I was taught as a little girl, if anybody touched you here, let me know. If my mother would have taught me that, that means when my grandfather touched me, I would have went straight to my mother or to my dad. But they didn't nobody teach me. I didn't know what was wrong, what he was doing. I didn't like what he was doing, but I was confused. I was 6 years old. So...
That's
that was
very
good
very
what
important.
You just said. It's very important. You've got to teach. It's more than just stranger danger. Yes, teach the stranger danger, but you also got to teach if anybody touch you, if anybody anybody touch you, it's wrong, and come and tell mommy or daddy. Come and tell us. That's what's important. Because the teachers, you send your kids to school, And I can tell you how many, many children went to school and were being raped in the school. Isn't that right, Carol?
Oh, yeah. God, yes.
Coming home and no one's saying, they don't know. Because that's where you're sending them. And you're not telling them. Well, if anybody in the school touch you, let mommy or daddy know. That's not happening. And it needs to happen.
They're getting a little wiser now, Michelle, you know,
excuse me.
With the mm-hmm. with the school systems. And, you know, because, look, they're mandated reporters. And when they see something that's not right, they're supposed to report. But we know that there are, you know, you know, so schools and universities, we know this, that many times if there's one of their own, okay, who is a pedophile, they keep their mouth shut. Now, Huffington Post, which I happen to very much like, I haven't watched it in a while, haven't looked at it in
mm-hmm.
a while, but what they did run for a while, which was very good, they ran all the female teachers, that were actually abusing children. Because, again,
mm-hmm.
we don't speak enough about the female teachers. We speak about the male teachers, but we don't speak about the female teachers. Are there as many? No. But there's enough to raise quite an eyebrow because there are, you know, pedophiles can be male, female, or teenagers. They just simply can't. Children that are older. Okay?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, that's actually very good. And so thank you, Mark, for that, because you brought up a good conversation here. Yeah, go ahead.
Carol?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Don't feel bad that you called the complex to look for your daughter, because I can relate to that. When our daughter was a teenager, she went to a party. She was supposed to call her mom and let her know
yeah.
what's going on, and that she didn't. And Pam called the cops. To go get it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, she was she had her antennas way up when we had our daughter. So that's okay.
I'm telling you, I don't sweat, and I got 9 grandkids.
Oh my goodness!
And besides the 9 grandkids,
I have great grandchildren. Do you have that?
I look out, and I'm telling you, if I see anything,
mm-hmm.
I'm a whistleblower. It's gonna be known.
Me too. Me too. You bet. I've done that before in a case where I had to work with the court system, and I was a whistleblower, and
mm-hmm.
I won.
That's right.
I don't know how often that happens, but I won because I'm a fighter. We know this. Let's go to Peter from Ontario. He hasn't had a chance to, speak about what we're talking about tonight. Peter, would you like to make
mm-hmm.
a comment or ask a question?
Good evening, everyone. You know, you're not leaving me out. I'm enjoying listening to all this. It is interesting, but you know, I think I agree what everyone's all going on here, and how parents need to teach their children, you know, be aware of who these kids are going to be with, or if their children are going to be, they want to go to their friend's place, like go to Johnny's place, then, you know, the parents need to know just who these people are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my time, strangers didn't really matter. It just never mattered whatsoever. There was never any teaching at school, never any teaching in my own home about, you know, don't talk to strangers, you know. If a stranger comes up and talks to you, say, I hope you greet them with respect, you know. Back then in the 70s and 80s, I couldn't understand it that much, But the one thing that, now, I hope I don't speak out of turn here, but if I do, someone do pull me up on it. But the one thing I don't agree with is the way, now I've seen it on these reality TV shows, and I know it's for real, that when these parents are putting their toddlers and their infants into these beauty quests, these pageants, I mean, they're painting these kids up like, pardon the kind of word that I'm going to use here, but they're treating their little girls like little sluts. It's an invitation for predators. Am I saying this wrong or no?
I would respond to that.
Go ahead. I'll respond too. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm an ex-professional model, and I started modeling at 6 years old. And I totally agree. I am totally against kids, young girls out here in these pageants, you know, 6, 7 year olds looking like they freaking 15, 16, because the parents make up their faces and give them adult hairdos and give them these adult outfits. No, that's too much. Because even though you're saying, oh, it's so cute, look who's watching. Look who's watching.
And I agree. You've got a lot of people, viewers around the world that's watching this show. How do you not know that there's a perfect predator that's just watching, just picking that moment to get his target? Because, I mean, I don't know a great deal as far as with kids that go missing because of this kind of stuff, but I can correct
a lot
you.
Of them.
I do hear about kids go missing, but you cannot tell me that the parents go berserk or the mother goes berserk because, you know, she's saying, where's my little Jane Doe? Where's she gone? Mm. Has anyone seen my little Jane Doe? Where'd she go? You know?
Wow.
Oh, you know, it's like someone comes up to the mother and says, oh, there was a man that picked your daughter up. Had to, parents watching these kids on these reality shows, it's too scary. I mean, I think I brought this conversation up once before, and it still makes me cringe when I see these little toddlers. I mean, they're only, what, 3 years old, 4 years old,
yeah,
6. Mm-hmm. You know, it's disheartening to, oh, my goodness, I feel like laughing my head off, but it isn't funny, but I do thank you guys for backing me up on that topic, but it's something that makes me cringe because it's a perfect target for predators and
target.
And you know, and I just hope that when these mothers are putting these kids in these pageant shows, you know, if they do, to be mindful, you know, don't turn them into whores or sluts or whatever you want to call them. I mean, I don't like using those terms because it's not the right thing to say about a woman, you know, but I hear enough of it with Dr. Phil when I do recall there was a show that he did on about a parent involving their children into these pageant shows and all that, and how it sickened him to see why their parents aren't watching their kids and where they're going when they disappear for a little while. And the next thing, okay, where's my daughter? So,
well, I agree with you, Peter. Yes,
let me say something
about that. Oh, yes, we both agree. And look, we're survivors, and we know what's right and what's wrong. We have a damn good idea, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when you take little children like that, and my God, they look like their heads look like an adult, for God's sake, and they're trying to make their bodies look like an adult. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the very first girl. Well, look at with JonBenet. There's your answer.
Oh, my
right
God.
There, JonBenet.
Perfect
oh,
example.
Oh, my God, is right.
Gorgeous
yes.
young lady. And I didn't even know she was
oh,
a little
yes.
girl. I really didn't until the story came out about her. And when they tell how old she was, I'm like, why in the hell? Did
mm-hmm.
I looked at the mother like, you got your daughter mm-hmm. made up like that. I'm totally against passing for kids, for girls. I'm totally against it.
It's disgusting. I agree with you, Peter. We both do very, very much.
But now that you mentioned that name, what did you say her name was again?
JonBenet. She was
yeah,
one of the girls.
Very sad
little
story.
French, very French, yeah.
That's
and
the
she
one
was
that
gorgeous.
Dr. Phil was doing. That was the show
she was
that he
gorgeous.
Was
she was.
She was
they had,
absolutely
they had her made up.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
And her mother and them had her made up like that. I just,
it
there
was
no
terrible.
Words.
And
horrible.
That's child abuse. So let me say something here. That's child abuse in several ways, and I'll tell you why.
Yes, it is.
Number one, they have a very strict schedule. Kids are supposed to be able to go out and play. I don't care if it's ball or they play with dollies or whatever the heck they're playing with. But that time is taken away from them because that time that's supposed to be play time, they're learning how to stand, what to say, how to look
mm-hmm.
sexual, how to
mm-hmm.
dance, how to sing if they can, you know, things like that. It's something, whatever would entice, you know, and make them look beautiful to the public, to the people that are in there. A lot of those people in there are not just regular mothers and fathers. Those people, a lot of them are pedophiles, just like you say.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's a very important thing that you hit upon because years ago, Peter, years ago, we had a show just on that. And that was around the time I think maybe JonBenet did disappear, okay? And they were trying
know.
To... Well, that's JonBenet. She was one of the first, okay, and I was very angry that night because I was my sexual abuse started at six, okay, by the pedophile uncle I had to live with, 6 to 7 and a half, and I did tell. He tried to run me down with his vehicle because I did tell. He meant business, but anyway, the point is this. Kids are put in harm's way at times. And to put them in these little contests, these big contests, they're not little, these contests, and it takes away from their childhood. They're not allowed to play. They have to practice. They have to practice, practice, practice. Then they have to do their schoolwork, okay? And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, and that takes a certain amount of time. And then maybe they're allowed to watch a little bit of TV. Okay, and then it starts all over again the next day. So I'm glad you brought that up. I want to continue on here, though. I agree with you, and Michelle agrees with you, and I'm sure Renee, who is listening, she probably agrees also. The psychological
mm-hmm.
thing with this, as they have discovered through a lot of studies, Peter, let me finish my sentence. The psychological,
okay.
What they're trying to do, yeah, is to, they wanted to be beauty queens, the mothers, okay?
Of course.
And so what they do is they turn their little girls into what they couldn't be. Now, that's the psychology
mm-hmm.
behind it. So
mm-hmm.
go ahead and finish quickly what you're going to say because we have two more to go over on this list. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, okay? And I'd speak to Renee, but I think she just wants to listen. Okay, let's go to number nine. Number nine says, I don't want to put thoughts in her head. Please, they don't want to put thoughts in your head? What do you think about that?
Wow.
True or false?
Well,
that's crazy.
I think it's crazy because if you don't put the thought in their head, about stranger danger and about anybody touching them, they're going to get thoughts in their head by people by the pervert and the pedophile that will go after your child,
mm-hmm.
and look at those kind of thoughts that they will have in their head. How about that?
Absolutely, yes, that's right. Now it says here, Actually, this again is written by she worked in the sex crimes unit in New York City, and I think she's a very interesting gal. She was on the show quite a few times. Okay, it says here, actually, there is no data to indicate that a child who has been taught about child sexual abuse prevention is more likely to fabricate that they have been sexually abused. According to Victor Weiss, or how do you say his name, director of the National Child Protection Training Center at Winona State College, that's university actually, children do lie, but seldom about being abused. All human beings can and do lie, but it's hard for kids to do it about sex. They can't lie about something they have no knowledge of. That's the way they look at it. They can't lie about something they have no knowledge of. And children don't learn about oral sex on Sesame Street.
No, they're not going to learn on Sesame Street. They're going to learn from a pedophile, someone teaching them, or a family member. Or a stranger.
That's exactly right.
That's
right.
Where they're going to learn it from.
That's exactly right. Now, that's another thing we should talk about, too. In the family so often, okay, in the family so often, there unfortunately is, a lot of sexual abuse. And, of course, that is incest. Now, what are kids supposed to do? It's so prevalent. It's so out there. In Ontario, now, Peter, I just turned him off right now because we don't have much time left. But, Peter... maybe you know of this, maybe you don't, but and we will address this another time. But in the school system in Ontario, they were bringing forth the idea, which turned into something that they did try in their schools, that from kindergarten up to 12th grade, they were going to teach about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, sexual abuse, the whole nine yards, everything that we speak about on NASCA. Age appropriately, okay, against kindergarten all the way up. And that was a program that was put together in one of the schools in Ontario. I would love to know how that worked out. In fact, I may even inquire about how that worked out. Because as the kids got older, of course, they spoke about date rape, you know, things like that, the teenagers, the probably the sophomores up or maybe even freshmen up. Who knows? I don't know. But they spoke about date rape and what's appropriate touch, what's not appropriate touch. So these kids who are being abused at home, okay, are being abused at home, they would have a place to go in the school system. They would have those that were trained, you know, to work with children who may have been abused at home, who are being abused at home, so that they would have another place to go, okay, and get help. They were trained professionals so that they would learn how to work with these children. And I wish that if that was successful, again, here's one thing, one of the blocks that's put up, okay, through the government and through the teachers' unions and all this other stuff, and through parents themselves, they were sending notes home letting people know that they were going to implement this, okay, put this into their curriculum to teach children from kindergarten up to 12th grade about age-appropriate sexual abuse and about boundaries, okay, things like that. Well, as far as I know, it went through and it was working well. And a lot of times, though, the parents can get in the way and say, oh, we'll teach them ourselves. Well, but do they? No. So often they don't. So I'm going to look into that, Michelle, because that would be a good topic, and maybe I could get someone on. Peter's from Ontario. Maybe I could get a teacher on from Ontario or someone who's a part of the program and get them.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be good, because we need this all throughout our countries. I say countries because it happens in all countries, just like I said in the beginning of the mission statement. Okay. So let's go to number 10. Number 10, it says, it's not going to happen to my child. What do you think?
False. Absolutely false.
You bet it's false. Actually, as the statistics show, child sexual abuse is so prevalent and pervasive that it could happen to any child. It doesn't matter where.
That's right.
This reason, yes, this reason is the catch-all. Educated, loving parents have actually said this to me. This is to this lady. If one were to ask any parent whose child has been sexually abused if they thought their child would never be sexually abused, I can guarantee each one would say, no, it's not going to happen. No one wants to believe that this could happen to their child, and that's a problem. We need to stop denying, yes, we need to stop denying that it could happen and recognize that there are ways to prevent it. Education is prevention. We know this. Prevention is education. We teach our children, and it helps our children. It's another way that we should, you know, again, do put that in your parenting. But prevent it from happening. Make the decision to talk to your child about sexual abuse prevention. It could be the greatest gift you ever gave them. The greatest gift you ever gave them. Now, we as survivors, we know doggone well what it's like to be sexually abused. And and we know doggone well that if someone had worked with us as a child and told us what to watch out for, this is, again, Michelle, this is coming from a normie home, okay? If they had parents or have parents that, you know, don't have problems themselves, if they educate their children, a pedophile does not like an educated child. They just simply don't.
Of course not.
And in a neighborhood, I've said this three times now. This will be the third time on this show in the last 11 years. In some, not a housing development, I don't know what the heck it was. But anyway, there was this, a lot of houses. And the kids were playing outside in the yard. And it was summertime. They were having a good time. And they were all just playing, doing what kids do. And then they noticed that the adults noticed that there was a van going around, a white van. It was going around and around. And so they kept their eye on the van. All of a sudden, the van stopped. And as they were going around, they were eyeing up the kids, okay, who were outside playing. There were two guys in this van. So they parked the van, and they got out of the vehicle. And they came over to one of the houses, you know, that the little girls were playing this mostly. And they had in their minds, oh, exactly which one they were going to snatch. Okay. So they went up to this, they're approaching this little girl, and she was playing and having a good time. And she realized that someone was approaching her. And so she kept watching them. She kept playing, kicking a ball or something, but kept watching him out of the corner of her eye. And these two guys, the closer they got to her, she started to, her red flags went up, okay, because she'd been trained her parents. So she watched them, she let them get a little bit closer, and all of a sudden she started to scream. The guy was just about ready to reach out and grab her, and she started to scream, I don't know you, help, 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 screaming at the top of her lungs. And she kicked them in the shins. So
good
she
for
kicked
her.
Them. Yeah, you bet. So, but anyway, you see, because she was so loud and screaming, and then that got the other kids to start screaming, help, 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 help. Well, they quickly ran back to their vehicle. But because a couple of adults were watching, they had already called 911. By the time they got out of that complex type area, whatever it was, the police were already there. There was a car in the area, and they got them. They got them. Now, had that child not been taught, chances are, this shows you how ballsy they are.
Oh, she'd have been snapped. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, kids all over the place, and they have the nerve to do that, you see? They have the nerve to do that.
Wow.
They still got out of their vehicle, and they were going to snatch that child. Yeah. So those two got caught. Yes, they did. So this is why it's so important, you know, to teach your children about child abuse, to teach your children what to look out for, because there are always people out there who are trying to get your children, like Michelle had said earlier. They want either to put them out on the street. They don't, and you know, it prepubescent, it doesn't have to be just teenagers. I mean, kids that are much younger. There's a lot of perverts out there that love children that are younger. Look, I was six when I started to have sexual problems with people, you know, trying to molest me and all this other stuff. And I was too small. They couldn't enter me, so they did their dirty deed on top of me. That's what they did. Very nice. Thank you very much. And I couldn't take it anymore. I didn't care if I died. You want to kill me? Go ahead. I don't care. I've had enough. All right. So anyway, the point is, whether it be six-year-olds or whether it be 10-year-olds or if it's, you know, in the teenage years, there are always people out there that are going to, you know, try and snatch, as Michelle says, your children. So if they're educated, like this little girl was, there's no way that someone was going to take her away. Oh, no, honey. She knew exactly what to do. She knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so important. That's what's so important. So, Michelle, we're getting close to the end here, I think. But are there things that you want to talk about before we end the show? I have a nice article here, but I'm going to use it during the course of a month because it's too long. And I can chop it down and bring it forth.
Yeah,
the show.
That's the one you were talking about earlier. No, go ahead.
All right, I'll chop it a little bit. Okay, who is the typical child molester? Mind you, this is written by, these are written by pedophiles who are inpatient and in-house, okay? We'll put it that way.
Right.
And then they burnt the place down, okay? Cute. I think it was from cigarettes, I don't know. Who is the typical child molester? I am probably well-known and liked by you and your child. I can be a man or a woman, married or single. I can be a child, adolescent, or adult. Now, that's where the teenagers come in when they say a child. They know by the time they're 15 years old, that they're different. I can be of any race, hold any religious belief, and have any sexual preference. They don't care whether it's a little boy or a little girl, okay?
Wow.
They're just available. They're right there. I can be a parent, step-parent, relative, family friend, teacher, clergyman, babysitter, or anyone who comes in contact with children. Remember, pedophiles go where children go. I am likely to be a stable, employed, respected member of the community. I'm going to read that again. I am likely to be a stable, I want people to understand this, a stable, employed, respected member of the community. My education and my intelligence don't prevent me from molesting your child. So there you go. That's a little bit there, and I'll read one more stack here. It says here, it is very easy to gain access to your child. I pay attention to your child and make him feel special. Yes, they do that. That's called grooming. We know this.
That's
grooming.
Called grooming. That's right. That's right.
I present the appearance of being someone you and your family can trust and rely on. They get the family to like them. They trust them. I get to know your child's likes and dislikes very well. He gives them attention, or she gives them attention. They learn these things. I go out of my way to buy gifts or treats for your child that he or she will like. Maybe parents can't afford it, and that's just the way it is, so they'll buy it for them and keep it at his or her house.
That's right.
I isolate, that way they can bring them into the house, see. I isolate your child by involving him in fun activities so we can be together, alone. If you are a single parent, I may prey on your fears about your child lacking a father figure or a stable home life. if my career involves working with children, listen to this, see the teachers come in. If my career involves working with children, I may also choose to spend my free time helping children or taking them on special outings by myself. I take advantage of your child's natural curiosity about sex by telling dirty jokes, showing her or him pornography, and by playing sexual games, step after step after step.
Wow.
I will probably know more about what your kids like to do than you do, with music, clothing, video games, languages, etc.
Wow.
I make comments like, anyone who molests a child should be shot, or sexually abusing a kid is the sickest thing in the world anyone can do. This is to make the kids feel calm. You know, this guy or woman isn't going to hurt me.
Right.
If I am a parent, it is even easier for me to isolate, control, and molest my own children. We know this. That's where incest comes in. I can sexually abuse my children without my wife ever suspecting a thing.
True.
So, I gradually block the communications between my children and their mother and make it look like I'm the good guy. I'm the good guy.
Yeah.
And the last one is, I may touch your child in your presence so that she thinks you are comfortable with the way I touch her.
Wow.
So there's a lot of things. I mean, this is just a small part. I used to use this at Centenary University to teach, you know, the social workers there and so forth, even some of the professors, and also police officers, because they don't know these things. They should know these things. And I'm going to use this again, but that was just a little tiny taste of that. It would take up a whole show. So, but the point is, these are things that I've given Bill. They're actually under prevention, intervention, recovery. That's the pedophile one I was just reading from. Protecting your children, advice from child molesters. And it gives a big information thing about that organization, which did get burnt down, and it was by the pedophiles. I don't know if they reopened or not. But it gives a lot of good information, okay? And that's what we try to do. Michelle and I try very hard to educate people on our shows, and we do this all throughout NASCA. But we try really hard once a month to, bring up topics that maybe aren't spoken about that much, you know, on the shows.
Well, let me tell you what you just read. That was powerful about the pedophile, wherever that was, that pedophile. I hope everybody was listening, because what he was saying is true.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything that Carol just read about that pedophile or that child molester that he wrote, it is true.
Well, you see, they're cunning.
Very cunning.
Well, this was written actually by about four or five, maybe even more than that, pedophiles that put this information together. And it is available
and I believe them all.
On our website. Yeah.
And please
believe
them all. Because what she just read is true and real. The one person that you would not think that won't hurt your child, you would be shocked and surprised.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
They're very manipulating, very conning, very smooth. Mm-hmm. You know,
they're smooth operators. Yes, they are.
They make themselves very likable.
They definitely would
draw in parents. I mean, it could be Boy Scout.
Yes.
It can be coaches in basketball or sports, pastors.
Yes.
Friendly guy at the grocery store. Man
right.
at the bank, a teacher, your swim coach.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Because every one of them titles I named, they got pedophiles in them all.
They're everywhere.
In all those titles, they everywhere. I'm gonna say this real quick, I watched a documentary, and I can't think of the man's name. Of course, he's old now, and he died in prison. They never let him out. He was one of the head ring of pedophiles throughout the world, nationally and internationally, where he was taking kids and recruiting teenage boys and selling them off and shipping them off and he was doing it for decades. And they had a journalist who was able to find out that there was a book that he had of different people that will call in, rich people with money, or people, you know, they pay the right amount. But what color hair they want the boy to have? Pictures.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And the only way that you can get into this book and get into this group of people who like boys, that you will literally have to show yourself with a boy and send it to him in order for him to sell you someone that you want to get with. And they pay thousands and thousands of dollars. And here's the catch. When she found out some names, and then of course there was no proof because mysteriously the book got destroyed when it was at the precinct. Yeah, right. Judges, politicians, doctors, lawyers.
Yeah.
Made me sick. Made me sick. That's why people need to wake up. You'd be surprised. Be the person next door to you. It can be the doctor you're going to see at a doctor's appointment.
That's right.
Or go in front of a judge. You'd be surprised of what these pedophiles look like that you can't even tell.
Yeah.
This thing is not going away. It's getting worse, and it's still going on.
It's never going to stop, Michelle.
They got this thing where now, you know, it's bad enough human trafficking going on or kids being raped and molested. Now they're selling organs.
I know. Disgusting.
To rich folks.
Well, they've been doing that for some years. I became
yes,
aware
they have,
of that
but
some
it's,
years
but,
ago.
But it's getting higher. It's upgrading. It's getting higher now. It's just, oh, Jesus, you know, all I can do is pray like I've been doing. I just keep praying because, you know, it's before it get better, it's going to get worse, meaning it ain't getting better.
No, it's not.
So like me and Carol is, we whistleblowers. I'm telling everybody, if I see anything going on, I'm going to watch, and if I see anything that is even looked that way, I'm going to be a whistleblower. I would not stand knowing if there's a next door, I don't care. If I see a child and I know the signs, I'm a survivor. I know the signs. I know victims. And if I see it, I'm going to tell it. I'm going to help that child.
You bet.
I am willing to die trying. So that's where I'm known as for the streets.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It is 9:28. I just want to say something real quick, Carl. I'm gonna give it back to you. Give me less than a minute. My name is Minister Michelle Bless. I am on the website. You can call me day or night. You can email me. You can text me. And if no one didn't tell you that you are loved, I want you to know that I love you and God loves you. There are two scriptures that I always give. The first one is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 14, and Psalms 91. And I'm going to leave it at that. Pass it on to you, Carol.
Well, thank you so much for that. Yeah, well, we had a wonderful show. I think it was a very informative show. And I'm going to put that on their Facebook because I want people to hear, you know, what was said. I give these things to Bill because they belong on the website. So they are there, both of them, okay? And so you can learn from it. So please, people, go to the website, naasca.org, NASCA.org, and look under those red lines, look under prevention, intervention, and recovery, all of them. And you'll find a wealth of information. And remember the contact list. Michelle and I both, you know, are the night owls. And there might be another, I don't remember. And many times I am up until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning talking on the phone. And then people wonder why is she so hoarse? We all know I can talk. So anyway, I want to thank everyone that showed up tonight. Michelle, as usual, it was a pleasure. You're a wonderful person to have on and to work with.
You know, always.
Always. I know that. So, yes, ma'am. Okay. So, good night, everyone. Stay safe. And listen to NASCA, because we have a lot to offer, okay? Listen to us.
Amen.
Okay. Amen to that, too. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Oops, that's the wrong one. It's not working. Okay. No, I'm just going to exit out.